So let's review. Zakta Mishnah, Hamakdish Nechasa Vahitzel of Ksuba Sisha. Someone sanctifies all of his property, which were already beholden for his wife's Ksuba. Rabbi Yezo Eimer Kishigir Shenu Yoder Hana. When he divorces his wife, he must vow not to benefit from her again, thus guaranteeing that he will not remarry her. Because we suspect that this is a ruse so that she shall collect the Ksuba from Hekdish, and he will then remarry her. However, Bishuo Eimer in the Tzarech, he does not need to make such a vow. The Gemara offers two explanations of the Machlekes. Rabbi Yezo Savar, Adam Isaac Kanunya Le Hekdish. We suspect that a person would defraud Hekdish. We assume that a person would not defraud Hekdash. However, the Gemara qualifies, they only argue regarding a healthy person, but everyone agrees that a Shchiv Merah on his deathbed will not defraud Hekdash because one would not sin if he would not personally benefit from it. A second interpretation of the Machlekes, they're arguing whether one can ask a Chacham to annul a donation to Hekdash, as Rashi explains. One cannot annul his hektish even if it was done under mistaken circumstances. Therefore, we suspect that he's defrauding hektish because he regrets the hektish, and since he cannot annul the hektish, he must resort to this ruse. However, Rabbi Shua Saver Nishal Nal Hektish, one can annul his hektish. Therefore, Hache in the Tzarech Lider Hana, Dimishum Kanunya Haba Ovid, Haba Mitchell Al Nitre, Vola Haba Bay, Megarsha. We do not suspect that this person is defrauding Hekdash because he could simply annul the Hekdash and would not need to divorce his wife. Mishnah continues, Kayetza B'dava, Amir B'shimingam Liel, Afa Arv Le'isha B'ksubasa, V'hoya Ba'la Megarsha. There's a guarantor on the Ksuba and the husband wants to divorce her. Yet the Rena Hana, Shemiyasa Kenunya Al-Nachasim Shalzeh, V'yachzor Zeshtei. He must vow not to benefit again from his wife when he divorces her because we suspect that he's trying to defraud the guarantor and plans on remarrying his wife. The Gemara cites a related incident. Moshe ba'atzri arved the kalsi hava, Rav Huna bereid surva merabon hava, v'dechikalei milsa. This person signed as a guarantor for his daughter-in-law's ksuba, and his son's finances were strained. Abaye commented, ligarish l'debesu, v'titva ksubasim avu, v'lahadri mehadri. He should divorce his wife, she'll collect the ksuba from his father, and he will remarry her because, atu called the megarish b'beidina megarish, he does not need to divorce her in front of Besdin, and so he could avoid making the vow. The Gemara points out that Abaye was permitted to offer this advice because Berei Shani Vitzuvim Rabban Shani, only in the case of a father and son, and where the son is a Talmud HaChacham. The Gemara challenges this idea from the halachas of guarantors as follows. Arv du Ksuba Dibakol Li Mishtabit. Everyone agrees that a guarantor on the Ksuba is not obligated because Mitzikavit Balei Midi Chasra. He merely tried to bring the couple together and did not cause her any real monetary loss. Kavlin de Balchayim, Dibrakol Mishtabit. Everyone agrees that a Kavlin, a guarantor, accepts equal responsibility for the loan, is obligated to pay for a loan. However, Arv de Balchayim, but Kavlin de Ksuba Pligi, regarding an ordinary guarantor for a loan, or a Kavlin for a Ksuba, it's a machlikis. Ikalamando Amar, Isle Nixi Lelevi Mishtabit, Lesle Loy Mishtabit. Ikalamando Amar, Avakav to Lesle Mishtabit. Some say that he only becomes obligated if the borrower had the means to repay the loan at the time of the loan, while others say he becomes obligated regardless of whether the borrower had the means to repay the loan. David the Gemara asks, Tebeglei de Arvdik Suba le Mishtabid, how would the son's wife be able to collect the Ksuba from his father? The Gemara answers, Kaplan Hava, the father was a Kaplan. Furthermore, even according to the opinion, Lesle le Mishtabid, he only becomes obligated if the borrower had the means to repay, Ravuna Hava le Mishtabid, the son was able to pay and then lost his money. Alternately, Ablega Bebrei, Shibid Mishabid Nafshi, a father can become an Arv for his son's Ksuba even if Lesle, since he commits himself sincerely. The Gemara discusses other possible cases that require a vow. Arev Tanan, Hekdash Tanan. Mishnah taught that if the property belonged to Hekdash or if there was a guarantor, the husband must take a vow. However, Lekeich Mao, what's the halacha if the property was sold and the wife now wants to collect it for her ksuba? The Gemara cites a machlekes. Her papa said, Tana Kiruch Lenechshe Benezel, does the Mishnah need to enumerate every case? The reasoning is the same, and so we can assume that the halacha is the same in the case of a buyer as well. However, Nardoi said, Ditznan Tznan, Deloitznan Loitznan. The Mishnah left it out because the halacha is different. Because bishlem hektish mishum revich the hektish. Regarding hektish, we require the vow because we have a special responsibility to protect hektish. Arav nami mitzvahu da'avid v'lav midi chasra. Regarding a guarantor as well, he was trying to help the woman and did not cost her anything, so we protect his interests. However, lekeach mechti. May the yod de cholchad v'chad ikalek suba amai nezel manizvan ihuhu da'avtzer anashe. Regarding a buyer, he knows that every couple has a ksuba, and he decided to take the risk, so there's no reason to afford him extra protection. Zakta Mishnah, Makdish Nechasa V'Hoyslav Ksuba's Isha U'Balchayv. Someone sanctified his possessions, and he owes money for a ksuba and a loan. His creditors cannot collect the property from Hektish, even though it was beholden to them. Rather, the original owner redeems it in order to pay his debts. For example, Hektish tishim mana v'haya chayvay meya mana. If the properties he was makdish were worth 90 mana, then the loan was for 100 mana. Meisav a dinner. U'paydes nechasim ha'elu amanas litin li'ishra k'subasa u'l'bachayv es chayvay. He must add a dinner and uses this small sum to redeem the hektish in order to pay the woman her k'suba or to repay the loan. And the Gemara explains that actually the hektish is certainly not effective since it is beholden to the loan and the woman or creditor could confiscate it from hektish for what they are owed. However, the Chacham initiated that he must redeem it for a nominal amount, so that people do not assume that Hektish is being reclaimed without redemption. Zok the Mishnah. Even though we seize a person's possessions in order to collect an Erechin pledge, we leave him with enough funds to purchase food for 30 days, clothing for 12 months, and a bed with bedding, shoes, and tefillin. As the Pasuk says, V'machu me'erkecha, and we expound, Hechayehu me'erkecha, sustain him with the Erech and evaluation. However, the Mishnah continues, Loi, avaloi le'ishtar l'banav. We only provide enough for himself, but not for his wife and children. As the Pasuk says, Hu me'erkecha, v'loi ishtar l'banav me'erkecha. The exclusionary term Hu teaches us that his wife and children are not included in this exemption. The Mishnah continues, Imhayu umman, noisen le'shnei klei umnes mikol minumnin. If he was a craftsman, we leave him two sets of all types of necessary tools. For example, charash noisen loy shnei mitzadin v'shnei megeris. A carpenter keeps two planes and two saws. However, Rabbi Eliezer imim haye ikar noisen loy tzimadi. If he was a farmer, he keeps a pair of oxen. Chamar noisen loy chamayre. If he was a donkey driver, he keeps a donkey. However, the Gemara explains l'rabbanon hanu lav klei umnes ninu elu nachasin ninu. Chacham disagree and consider oxen and donkeys to be property, not tools of his trade, and they're taken to pay the archim. The Mishnah continues hayle min echad merubo min echad mu'ud. If he has more than two of one type of tool, but only one of another, we don't allow him to sell the extra tools in order to purchase more of the other. Rather, we leave him at most with two of every type, and only one of each of those that he has only one. Mishnah concludes, if someone consecrates all his possessions, we assess his tefillin and he redeems them. As Rashi explains, the tefillin are included in his property.